Everybody feel it, come around with the rhythm, this is sound. Everybody get down, we give it to you. Everybody feel it, come around with the rhythm, this is sound. Everybody get down. Hello, this is Kenya Podcast Preacher. Welcome back to my podcast, Deep Waters. This podcast is brought to you by Applied Strengths Ministry, where we believe working together in our strengths is the effect of working out the will and calling of God in and through our lives. The title of this message is, The Life That Ends Before You Die. Hey Ken, shouldn't this say the life that ends before it dies? Yep, but nope. You see, the message is for you and is intended to teach you how to check your own Christian effectiveness pulse and see if you are alive to all things God, or if you gave up on Him and is prepaid by Jesus' package, which is all of the instructions you need to be more than a conqueror in Him. Romans 8:37, right? I know, how could any Christian be living outside of their calling and purpose and consider themselves alive in Christ? Romans 6:11. And now you're meddling, Ken. Nope, I'm just like you, destined to attend the same afterlife on earth meeting as you will be. And I think it is better if you and I chat about your earthly Christian death before you or I have to explain it to Jesus. Again, better you and I have this conversation now so that you can change the outcome with Jesus at your future predestined date. Yes, even your death is predestined. If you think you will be tolerant of laziness, purposeful ignorance, i.e. not reading your Bible, or want you to tell him the story about how you, a Christian, had lived your life with one foot in and one foot out, then no doubt you know a Jesus I do not know or have read about in my Bible. Oh, and I know this just got real, but God gave us each other because we all have blind spots. And no matter how much anointing you have, you will still need others from time to time to point those things out, hiding in them there are blind spots. I know that I have them and therefore pay attention to what others say when they think that they see something. No, not everything others say will be spot on, but some of those things will be. And they will be warnings and corrections sent by God. Wow, Ken, I heard you were a straight out of the gate Paradise Podcast preacher teacher, but this stings a bit. If it doesn't, you are either already dead and desensitized to the things of God and unable to hear or see Him, or you are still alive enough to change course, or to get on course, and or to be encouraged to continue down the course as you are. The sting is a form of hope. And it is for this reason we are embarking down this trail and not climbing up a tree. Jesus said, let the dead bury their own dead, Matthew 8:22. And so I'm not going to chase after the excuse makers, or those who are willingly wrapped up, or as the Bible puts it, entangled in their sin, Galatians 5:1 and 2 Peter 2:20, or for the rest of an unbelieving mankind, who wouldn't be interested anyways. Now my saying this places you in a special category of people, because there are a few who find salvation and live the life of one who knows the value of it and know the value of your life to others as you were switched on for God and began to help others in the love of God. Luke 13:23-24. Then one said to him, Lord, are there few who are saved? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. What incredible value you have to be, in part, saving people from spending all of eternity, or just a short visit, more on this some other time, in hell. Do you imagine anything so important as this? If not, then try this just for a moment. Think right now as if you were on the other side of life right now. Oh yes, right now you have passed from death into eternal life, and you can see all of those who responded well. And but on the other side of the side, You can also see the millions, if not billions, of those who did not grasp the urgency of the matter, and they are, well, separated from us by an unbreachable chasm. Listen, Luke 16:19-31. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, destined to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. I guess there was no angel for him. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in torment in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. I bet you at that moment in time, all of those things that the rich man had, he had finally realized that they were valueless and meant nothing compared to where he was going to go for eternity. Then he said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. For I have 5 brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, No, they have Moses and the prophets, let him hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. Now we have to see how permanent this event is. Listen, we only have these few seconds to cast out a line to those who just can't see it, right? You say, can, if they don't want to go, then let them be. But I then say, in your state of a wild imagination, see them in hell, in hell's very eternal grip, which is absent of all things God. Now imagine it is your spouse or one of your kids that is there on the ledge of hell. In my message, Family Redefined, and in my book, soon to be released, titled, The Sword That Rightly Divides Rightly, you will see that Jesus redefined the family structure. Yes, it is not now in heaven what it is now on earth as it relates to the family structure. As believers, we care and love all of God's predestined and elected kids without partiality, so that we, in essence, reconstruct the family structure and prepare them for heaven. So in short, whether it is our kids, wife, husband, neighbors, co-workers, or Uber driver, we, in frantic faith and belief, work to complete the work of Jesus. This is the story he will want to talk about. Not one excuse gets into heaven. Too busy, too many bills, wife not saved, husband not saved. I worked for government. I was a teacher in the system. Nope, not one excuse will follow you in. We should hope that regret doesn't make it in either. Well, so if you're okay with some sting in your life and want to grow from those moments that are difficult, then truly there's hope for you. These things we need from God, that we would remain motivated for the things of heaven. We need to be trained up by the dreadfuls of this earth, that we would be fulfilling the hope of the world, which is that there is something better going on out there, and I or they want to know what it is. The following scriptures can be considered the CPRs for a stagnant Christian, a wayward Christian, one who is drawn back because of these very activities, Hebrews 10:38. No, but we do need God's attention to our lives in these matters, so that we stay alive while we are still alive here. Proverbs 3:11. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. Well, we should but decom that word, and no doubt if you could see it, you would see it so that we have a fuller understanding of the power of this scripture. Despise. To regard with contempt, distaste, disgust, or disdain, scorn, or loathe. Thank you, sir. May I have another? Yep. Detest. To feel abhorrence, hate, dislike intensely. So we only need to go as far back in our own life to see what a look of despising or detesting looks like, as we just received the belt of correction from our natural father. Right? I think it was our default as kids. Hebrews 12:5-11. and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as it seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Well, that's way more information on spankings than I wanted to cover, but it is important to know that they will be a part of your growth process and or part of your revival process. Now, this is not really addressing persecution, as that comes to active, running for God, all-out Christians. And there it is, if you wanted to hear it, right? This message is not talking about testings, as these measures are determined to show us, and maybe even him, as if he didn't already know, if we have what it takes to go forward to task. You want to tell everyone that you are ready for anything spiritually, then testing may, no, will come to look for agreement. The test will tell you the truth, no matter what you think. But anyway, this is not that. And no, this is not talking about suffering, as this wonderful gift, as discussed a bit and in more depth in my message titled, The Mystery and Gift of Patience, is different. This message is more about shaking you to action and to your God-intended purpose. In my opinion, this is a big group of us. Hey, Ken, how can you say that? Well, allow me to share something that you can use to see for yourself so that you can make up your own mind. If your church and or ministry is equipping the saints for the work of ministry, Ephesians 4:11-16, if you are a disciple reporting to someone who is also a disciple of someone else who is, well, you get my meaning, Matthew 28:19. Yes, if you are also making disciples, teaching the word with the measure of teaching given to you, Colossians 3:16. Well, and if you are preaching the gospel and teaching others that a preacher title belongs and is assigned to everyone who calls himself a believer, no, it is in no way just relegated to those spiritual extroverts who like to chat it up. Mark 16:15. Okay, so if you know and understand your purpose and calling, what spiritual gifts you currently lead in, as we know this can change as you grow. 1 Corinthians 12:1-13. Yes, if you know your talents and personality and how it helps you to complete the work of God, and but also equips you to work in the workplace, Dan 1:20. Yes, if you are bearing the fruit of the Spirit spoken of in Galatians 5:22-23. And have a good understanding of what it is to walk out 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love definition and God's standard of excellence. And if you are seeking to know God and obey Him in all things, 2 Thessalonians 1:8. Not that you do not fall from time to time, but that you have a sincere desire to be perfect and sinless. Matthew 5:48, John 8:11, and 5:14. Oh yes, I could add some sprinkles to this cake. But now, as you can see, work done in these attributes, behaviors, and knowledge will set you apart from most who like to do nothing more than wear a Christian mask. Ouch. Yes. And I know. But we are talking about the eternal difference between heaven and hell. Oh, and but this is a short list, but elements should be all over your life. Your Christianity has to be important to you. Now, notice I didn't mention if you attend a church or gave your tithe and offering regularly. Nope, I didn't mention your attendance at a Bible study either. These things will happen as you read your Bible in faith, belief, and apply it to your life. And but every time you come across something that seems impossible, just tap into God and chat with Him about the matter. He loves you and really looks forward to those conversations. Well, and now where were we? Well, we're finished with this shorty but longy. And what I mean is that it is a short message, but it contains enough information to sustain you for your whole Christian life, if you do the things it asks you to do. Well, that's it for this message. Remember, it's not what you find wrong or disagree with regarding these messages, but what you can take away from. Together, we can do more to impact the kingdom than if we work alone. Let's flip the script and kill, steal, and destroy the works of the enemy and create space for the light of lights to shine through into people's lives. Plant a seed and click on the like and subscribe buttons. It really helps this ministry. Let's build this ministry together. Thanks, and see you next time in Deep Waters.